Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 17th chapter of St. John, which has just been read. Be seated. You don't go into the wilderness expecting to find a paved road. C. Walton Lillehei earned his medical degree, and then the war came. And he found himself in Europe in a field hospital, and war is a nasty business. The purpose of war has been described as to kill people and break things, and the weapons of war are made for just that. And he saw a lot of young men brutally broken by those weapons of war. Some of them didn't make it. It was good training for what lay ahead for him. In his book, King of Hearts, Wayne Miller opines that not just anybody could do what Walt Lillehei did after the war. Doctors don't like it when their patients die. On a professional level, they see death as a failure. On a human level, nobody likes to be around death. But Walt Lillehei had been in the war, and he'd seen death, a lot of death. And after the war, he did his work at the University of Minnesota. He was a pioneer in open heart surgery. And at first, a lot of his patients died. Started with dogs, then moved to humans. And Miller talks about parents bringing their children to him from all over Minnesota and then the Midwest. Most of those first patients he operated on died. Yeah, and they were going to die anyway. And he had seen death, a lot of death. But not everybody had. His reputation suffered. Other doctors talked about his high mortality rate, called him the killing doctor. Hospitals forbade him a place to operate. Nobody wanted to be associated with the killing doctor. Had a hard time finding an operating room to work it, and other doctors snubbed him. He didn't want to be seen even talking to that guy. His response? You don't go into the wilderness expecting to find a paved road. And the road that Jesus talks about was not paved. When faithful and courageous Thomas asked him how to get to where he was going, Jesus, you remember, said, I am the way or the road, the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. And the first Christians were very familiar with that road metaphor. Acts speaks of the Christian religion as the way or the road. And our religion as journey has deep roots in the Old Testament as well. This road, this Christian journey, was for the first Christians by no means paved. We can look back at 2,000 years of church history. We can. And before, several thousands of years of Old Testament history, and it's very instructive. A lot of paving's taken place. Much of the heavy lifting has been done for us. Most of the theological questions have been addressed and answered. The Christian calendar has developed. The divine service has come to us, and precedents have been set in those 2,000 years of Christianity. And after Jesus did what he did everything he came here to do. Last Thursday, he ascended into heaven, and then must have been one of the biggest, well, what now in history. Jesus is gone, well, what now? And the 12 had already been out preaching, teaching, healing, but when they came back, he was there. He was there. And he had told them that after he's gone, they should do the same, but that had never been done before. Not that way. Religion was spread as a byproduct of war. You win the war, you impose your gods, and the loser accept them. Not with words. That's not how you spread a religion. So that's what you want us to do. Just how's that going to work? Use words, sentences, to tell people about God? And some will believe what you say, and others not so much. So no weapons at all then. And how's that going to work? Well, actually, 600 years later, another man will rise. A man who said his God told him these things about that God. Listen to my preaching. His preaching was met with a huge collective yawn. So he switched to the traditional. Terror and violence worked. And you know, Matthias was not the first choice. Matthias was not even the second choice. Matthias had been with Jesus from the beginning, it says, from his baptism. Jesus knew him, and yet Jesus did not choose him to be one of the 12. He may have been one of the 70 that Luke talks about, but Matthias was not the first or even the second. He was actually the 13th apostle, and that only because Judas did what he did to Judas. My first call was to Zion Burnett, Wisconsin, be 35 years this summer. I was pretty sure I was going to Montana. And at the call service, I was first in line that year. When Dr. Mueller said, Zion, Burnett, Wisconsin, I did not say, I thought it, but I didn't say it. That's not right. I'm going to Montana. But I wasn't, and it worked. So after the call service, they just had it last month at the seminary, she meet the district president, Harvey Krueger. And the first thing he said to me was, you're going to be following a very popular pastor. Oh, swell, swell. Matthias did not have that problem. Following Judas, those were small shoes to fill. And the call meeting came down to two. Justice and Matthias were qualified. Not everybody was qualified. They did not put an ad in the classifieds. They did not post on social media or any of the plethora of websites which function is to connect job seekers with jobs. And when one of our congregations go vacant, not everybody's qualified. So you choose to go to seminary, and I think for a lot of us, pastor, give it a shot. But not everybody is let into seminary. You have to have certain academic credentials. You can't be divorced. Your wife has to be a member of the Missouri Synod. And from there, other people choose whether or not you are qualified. Graduate, get ordained, and then get assigned to places like Trinity, Clinton, Iowa. And if you stay qualified, which mostly means staying out of trouble, you stay on the clergy roster, and you're qualified. There were 12 apostles, and 12 is the number. There were 12 tribes of Israel, and that comes down to this. 3 is the number of God, times 4 is the number of the world, God working in the world through Israel. Then comes Jesus, who's been called Israel, reduced to 1, and he chose 12 apostles. It means they were sent. And they needed Matthias to replace Judas because 12 is the number. And they had assigned these 12 to different territories. They didn't just all kick them out and say, go out and do missionary work. They sent them to a place. Matthias was actually the 13th. Paul was the 14th. Barnabas was the 15th apostle. And then there's a 70 that Luke talks about. That's 3 plus 4. God working in his creation times 10, that's infinity, and that's the apostolic office There's a lot of pastors gone under the bridge since the time of Jesus and the apostles. And the apostles, they went into the wilderness, like he had said, into the world. And they did not find a paved road. Even though he had told them it would be so, I think they were surprised that not everybody embraced the Christian religion. In fact, they found obstacles along that unpaved road, placed there, those obstacles, by other religions and by the Roman government, who considered the Christians to be outside the law. It means they had no legal protection. It means you could kind of do anything you wanted with them or to them. Did you realize that for the first 300 years, no Christian church service in the Roman Empire was legal? For 300 years, until the Edict of Milan in 313, granting freedom of religion, Constantine was a Christian. Before that, every single church service held by the Christians in the Roman Empire was illegal. That's a pretty big pothole. More like a sinkhole. And smack dab in the middle of the road. What'd those Christians do? Well, they paved the road a little bit. They had church. They obeyed God rather than the men. That's what they did. It's really amazing, isn't it, how easy it was for governors and mayors and the like to tell us to stay in our homes, but not in Iowa. And we did. And they told businesses to close, even if it meant ruin. And for many, it did. The restaurant at Springbrook, for example, there are others. And they told us to stop gathering together for church. And we stopped gathering together for church. And that was amazingly easy. I was surprised to hear that some churches, a lot of churches in Iowa, did not start back when they could. From whence does this new teaching come? Remember that Tuesday morning, two elders and I had started communicating about how we were going to do church the next Sunday. We decided to meet after church the next day. That would be after Wednesday midweek, and talk about it. Later that morning, the governor issued her order. And none of us, as far as I know, ever considered disobeying that order. It was not a matter of religious persecution. And it was only for 2 weeks. And we'll be back for confirmation on Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Easter. Several weeks later, maybe six, we had that Wednesday meeting, 10 days before we had church, May 3rd. For the first time in several weeks, we celebrated divine service. And I, for one, never thought of not doing that on May 3. It's not new for churches to be forced by law to close. Happens all the time. What is new is the government allowing churches to meet and worship, but the churches keep themselves closed. That's new. That's never happened before, but it's happening now. Yes, I was very surprised that some Iowa churches didn't start up when they could have. From whence does this new teaching come? So I Googled it. Maybe there's something there, I don't know. I'm a pretty good Googler. One of three things I do well. Backing a truck up's another one. I think there might be a fourth one. I load the dishwasher, I get a lot of stuff in there, and I don't remember the fourth then. So I Googled far and wide, churches closing and stuff like that, and you know what? They don't. They just don't. This is not the first world pandemic. it kind of happens all the time, more or less. In the 2009 swine flu, which had, according to the state of Iowa, a 4.4% mortality rate. Churches stayed open. Didn't even know what was going on, maybe. The 1968 Hong Kong flu, a lot larger percentage of Americans died than with this thing. Things closed, but not the churches. And in the 1957 Asian flu, the churches likewise stayed open. Of course they did. Of course they did. Glad the president finally got on board on Friday. I think he heard that they've been having church in Lutherans in Grand Mound, Iowa for 3 weeks, and he heard that and said, that's not right. We're essential. People need the comfort of God's word. They need to receive the body and blood of Jesus to gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in trying times. And these are trying times. During the 1918 Spanish flu, came from Asia, incubated in this country at Fort Riley, the St. Louis mayor ordered churches closed, and the Lutherans obeyed. When could they open? Well, the book says that the churches in St. Louis opened when the pastors demanded that they open. That's when they opened. And I know what you're thinking. No, I'm not calling up other pastors and asking them from whence this new teaching comes. And no, I'm not buttonholing people to come to church. I know what you're thinking. Yes, maybe I'm just not as strong as I should be. If I don't tell people that they should open up their church and go, then who's going to? Well, maybe I'm just lazy. Maybe I just don't care. I don't know. You know, by medieval times, the saints that have gone before us had filled in a lot of those potholes, removed many of the obstacles, paved much road. Pandemic was not unusual. And by the time of the famous bubonic plague, the Black Death hit in 1345, probably from Asia, they knew the drill. They knew the drill. And the Black Death, and it came back and came back. In the Black Death, the mortality rate was something around 50% of the population in many areas. So if you look at one side of the church or the other, that's about 50%. Entire families, entire towns the size of Grand Mound, everybody died. But I suppose they didn't have the media telling them to freak out. And that's not my call either, what the media does. During pandemic, the sick people in medieval times were told to stay home. They didn't like it. People do that here. They get sick, they stay home. Here, the elderly, if a bug's going around, they stay home because they know the drill. And I don't visit people when I'm contagious. And nursing homes all have the signs reminding visitors that if you have the current bug, go away and come back later. We all know the drill, and much paving has been done. Reading about the church and how they respond to pandemics from early on, a lot of it sounds very familiar. And they understood, contrary to what we were taught in school, how disease spreads from person to person. And look at that. Those country folk don't seem to be getting as sick. And the small towns a little worse. London, you don't want to be in London during the plague. And when the plague hit in the 16th century, this is on the internet, social distancing, they knew about that. Protection of the elderly, quarantining of the sick. The sick couldn't go to church and they didn't. basic sanitation and the secular authorities limited groups to 12. And their social distancing, their spacing was 3 meters. That's about 10 feet. So they knew about, sounds very familiar. But the churches stayed open and did not close. And it's a very Christian thing, protecting the elderly. For the pagans during epidemic, every man for himself. And the Christians surprised them with their different approach. So that Tuesday morning afternoon of the governor's order, I went to make some shut-in calls. I thought I probably wasn't going to be able to see them for a while, and I was not sick. They were already starting lockdown. Maggie's place, the doors were literally locked. The shades were pulled. They let me in, but they put the thermometer in my ear and made me fill out the form. The towers, sign's still there. Emergency only. And I guess I'm not an emergency, so I'm not going there. And that's Iowa. Florida protected their elderly. A lot of elderly in Florida. New York, New Jersey, the East Coast. Surprisingly, some Midwestern states and Colorado. 40 to 70% of the deaths were people living or working in extended care facilities, and not many of those were the workers. Most of them were the residents. It's one thing to protect the elderly, which we always do. It's another thing to order nursing homes to take people who are infected with a deadly virus. I couldn't believe it when I read the story from the Washington Post, New York Post, and others have picked up on it. So yeah, we're open. Of course, there's no government preventing us from opening. And that doesn't mean that everybody will come, and they haven't, and that's okay. I was reading a couple years ago about how Jesus withdrew to avoid danger. And I wondered, it kind of made him sound, was Jesus a coward? And that's not the Jesus we know. That word for withdraw is how it's usually translated. It occurs 10 to 12 times in the New Testament. The first time when Joseph and the Holy Family withdrew to Egypt because Herod was killing people. And several times in the Gospels, we find Jesus withdrawing to safety because it's not time yet. And then it would be time. It's an app that's built into living things to want to stay living and not die. And if somebody perceives danger, maybe dying because of coming to church, that's okay. Nobody's going to force anybody to come to church. And that's kind of a blanket statement. I can't, you can't. And that's not the way this religion works. And I don't know about you, but I avoid certain places these days and have perhaps upped my social distancing game. Yeah, but this is different. Yeah, but they're all different. And the next one, and there will be a next one, there always is, it will be different as well. But we've learned some things, haven't we? For 2,000 years, the church has been filling potholes, removing obstacles, and you don't close church. And where does this new teaching come from? Well, I think the idea that the church is a place to be, especially during, say, a pandemic, that idea has sort of jumped the shark for the culture, hasn't it? Dorothy Sayers famously said, and she's right, it's not the business of the church to be shaped by society. It is the business of the church to shape society. So the feast day for Matthias the Apostle is February 24, and he was not the first apostolic church. And do you know how it ended for Matthias? Take a guess. He died. He was martyred, and he went to heaven, but not before he paved a little bit of the road for us. His mission field was Syria, and he established the church there. And it's been there for a while, and those Christians there know about suffering. It's dangerous every time they go to church in Syria. And in places like Nigeria, it's dangerous every time you go to church. Before he left, the Son prayed to the Father for them, for you, for all Christians, past, present, and future. I am no longer in the world, the Son tells the Father, but they, you, are in the world. Holy Father, guard them in your name, that they may be one, even as we are one, and we are. We are in the world, and the world is a place of sin, suffering, and we know how this thing ends. We follow Jesus, and we know our final destination, and Thomas asked for directions. Jesus said he is the way, the road, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to him except by him, and we know the road, don't we? We know the road. Matthias did not enter into the wilderness of the world expecting to find a paved road, and he didn't. What did he do? Well, he began the paving, making it better for those who follow. Still, the road is often crooked, bumpy, filled with new potholes, new obstacles. Many have been straightened, filled, and removed by those who have gone before us, those who have now entered eternal rest. People like Matthias, the apostle, people like your loved ones, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we eat the feast with them today here, looking forward to one day feasting with them there. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.